Amen. Good seeing you. Thank you, Brother David. Take your Bibles. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. Ecclesiastes in chapter number 4, a book in the Old Testament of your scripture this morning. And as you're turning there, you can find a companion handout to our lesson this morning in the bulletin. And I want to encourage you to find that and to utilize that as well. It'll help you to follow along as we study this morning, the scriptures and our topic, and then also to take it with you. And I suppose that's one of the things I like most about the handout is you can jot some things down as the Lord works in your heart while we're together, and then just refer to that over the week in your own devotional time and implement it and apply it to your life as the Lord would allow. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4, we're in a series entitled Parenting with Purpose. And the His Design class attracts a lot of couples and parents, and either you're parenting now or maybe preparing a home for parenting children in the future as the Lord would allow. And so we don't want to just parent, but we want to parent with purpose. We want to be effective. We want to get something done while we're there and accomplishing something in the hearts of the children whom the Lord has given to us. And this morning we come to this topic of the secret of a close-knit family. The secret of a close-knit family. How can we cultivate a close-knit family in our home with the family in whom the Lord has given to us? And look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse number 9. The Bible says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him. And they didn't have the, you know, I have fallen and cannot get up button back then in Ecclesiastes. But anyway, so you want to make sure someone is there. Verse number 11 again. If two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And that's the life verse of every engaged couple right there. We need to be married. Anyway, number 12. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And we could gain so much from this passage. You'll often hear maybe regarding education about, boy, when the church and the home and the school are all in sync, that threefold cord. And there's much to learn here about unity, about togetherness, about harmony, about helping one another. And we desire that even within the walls of our own home. Sometimes when we know what to do as Christians or maybe in ministry, we desire to live it out in our lives and maybe in our workplace and those types of things. But if we're not careful, it is sometimes forgotten in the four walls of our own home. And we want to make sure that that is a ministry of high priority and that we can adapt these things to our lives in helping us to have a close-knit family. So what are some characteristics of a close-knit family that this morning we could make sure are part of the fabric of our homes as well? Well, first of all, I want us to see this morning that a close-knit family expresses a high degree of appreciation one for another. A high degree of appreciation one for another. In the last couple of weeks that we've been studying parenting with purpose, we've learned the power of praise. And we know as parents that we are to train. And part of training is admonition. We are to bring to awareness when our children are not doing what we have trained them to do. And then we are to help them correct that, or we are to biblically apply correction that will help them get back on track. And so there is an imperative part of that, but there is the power of praise. And a close-knit family is one that often is hearing appreciation shared one from the other. And I want to encourage our class this morning, husbands, your children ought to oft hear you praise your wife in front of your kids. Boy, we have an amazing mom. Boy, isn't this meal amazing? Look how clean this house is. Can you believe mom helped with your clothes this morning or that lunch she packed for school or whatever you notice that she's doing to serve your family, make sure your kids notice. Make sure they know how blessed they are to have a mom who is doing those types of things and reading to them and loving them and training them and all of those things. Praise her in front of the kids. Wives, praise your husbands in front of the kids. We're living in a culture and society that is demeaning the role of husband and father. And oftentimes in the prime time of media and entertainment and all of that, the father is just the blunt end of all the jokes in the home. he's kind of the rambling idiot that just kind of brings some money to help out or doesn't work at all and just stays home. And yet God gave to him the authority and responsibility of the home. And it's often very good for the children to be hearing from mom, boy, isn't dad a blessing? Boy, aren't you thankful he works so hard? Let's be sure when he comes in the door, we're greeting him. We're thanking him for a hard day of work. When he's spending time with the kids, boy, you are so blessed to have a dad that spends time with you. And just look for opportunities to praise. Praise your kids. One family took this so far that one family night a month, they dedicated to this theme. And one family night a month, they would give every family member 60 seconds. And in those 60 seconds, that family member had to say something they appreciated about every other family member in their home. Now, the size of your family may have to adjust the time, but it's a good idea to be initiating the speaking of appreciation one for the other. Characteristics of a close-knit family. Expressing appreciation. Number two, spending a great deal of time together. These close-knit families spent a great deal of time together. They genuinely enjoyed being around each other. And we've kind of beat that drum a little bit this series. Sometimes in American family life, it is like, how can I get rid of my kids and for how long? Who can watch them? Who can take them? Where's my break? And I understand if you're having a lot of little ones at home, and we have, and we do, that at times it is a little overwhelming. Somebody was giving me a bad time this week about how our family needed a pet. And we do. We have a fish. But somebody, one of the pastors was telling me this week that he had a dog, and he was trying to get me to take that dog. And I said, sir, listen to me. I have four kids. I have enough messes as it is in my house. I don't need to pay for more, you know. And now that may change down the road. We'll see. So sometimes we're looking for ways, maybe not to be around them or that type thing, but a close-knit family is spending a great deal of time together. They're working at spending time together. They're working at involving everyone in the home. I want to encourage our class and our guests this morning, maximize your togetherness and minimize your times apart. Maximize your togetherness and minimize your times apart. Study your calendar. Study your schedule. Study your week. By the way, if you get in the habit of doing this every week, you'll never be more than 6 or 7 days out of balance. One of the greatest practices I was ever encouraged to do was every week of my life, in detail, study my calendar. Why? Because if I see, I didn't date my wife this week, I didn't date my kids this week, we didn't have family night, man, I am out of sync. I can get an order. Well, I need to schedule that. That needs to happen. I need to carve that out. We need to get back where we need to be. So if I'm in the habit of doing that, it's going to help me stay on track. And I want to maximize the time together. Look for an opportunity to kill two birds with one stone. It's a conviction of mine to go soul winning. It's a conviction of mine to go invite people to church. I can take my kids to do that. And I did that yesterday. And it was a blessing. And we loved it. We enjoyed it. We look for opportunities to do that. We've come to the work nights, and we brought our kids. Well, they need to learn to work. I learned to work at church work nights. The first time I stayed up all night without sleep, which was such a big deal as a kid, you know, was at an all-church work night. And it was with all the guys tearing apart an auditorium, getting ready for a remodel, you know. But, I mean, I don't remember how old I was, 10, 11, something of that nature. I mean, to get to stay up all night, to get to not go to bed, to be a part of that, it was awesome. It's a memory I'll never forget. Where did that happen? Church. What was it for? A church work night. Involve your family in what you're doing. Look for togetherness. Live by a calendar. Keep your family a high priority. And we mentioned that, but it'll help us to kind of keep together. And all of the reading I did for this series, and a theme I often came across, was camping. Now, I personally am not a huge camper, but I have been challenged in my research that I need to do it more. And one of the things that I read was families who often camp. And I think the idea we can understand, that got away from the norm, the hectic schedule, that got away from entertainment, television, internet, cell phone, etc. They got around God's creation, and they had nothing to do but be together and creatively come up with stuff to do together. And oftentimes, it didn't go well. But looking back on it, it's funny. because, you know, the tent collapsed or, you know, the bear ate the food or whatever, you know. But, I mean, you have some story to look back on, and it's a humorous thing. And a lot of reading I did encouraged that, and I was challenged by it, and I wanted to share it with you as well. Now, how did these families spend time together? And let me review a couple of things very, very quickly at Array. They scheduled regular times together, and we've stressed that in this series, but we need to have family nights. I've encouraged our class to have one-on-one time with each kid each week. That's an imperative thing. Schedule family vacations. Don't miss church. Don't take a vacation away from God, but have family vacations. Have time together. Remember that spending time together is a decision that must be made and kept. Spending time together is a decision that must be made and kept. It's not going to happen naturally. Why? Because Satan wants to rip your home apart. And it takes time together to have a close-knit, strong family, which is what we're praying for in his design class. And it's not just going to happen by accident. You and I cannot afford just to live life with this mentality of, well, here's today, we'll see what happens. Oh, no, 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 no. Here's today, and here's what I've got planned to do. We've got to have family devotions. We've got to train our kids. We've got to press forward in this area. And so I've got to be sure that I'm spending time together. I'm deciding it. I'm prioritizing it. I'm planning it. Number next, we need to be careful to follow through when we plan times together. Are every kid's life first? Just hope deferred, make it the heart sick, you know? And, Mom, Dad, you said we were going to get ice cream, or you said whatever, you know? And, yes, we did, didn't we? And every store is closed and we have to improvise or whatever. But, it happens to all of us, but we've got to be careful that, when we plan something, when we mention something, we may not understand the anticipation built up in the hearts of our kids and how much they're looking forward to it and they just can't wait for it. We've got to be careful to come through. Boy, make it a priority. And by the way, can I say this? Because we've all blown it in this area. When you do, fess up. When you do, get those kiddos together and say, hey, Dad blew it. We were supposed to do this. I said we would do this. This happened. I didn't know this was going to happen. We got busy. I'm going to make that up. I'm sorry. I said we were going to do that, but we're going to make this right. Make sure you make that right. Protect that time together. Letter B, they're discovering each person's most meaningful activity. And those of you in this room that are parents, I challenge you, know what your kids enjoy doing. And for me, for some of my kids, it's not what I enjoy. Who cares? It's time with them. I can learn to do something I don't enjoy. And in a reaction, they're going to learn to do some things that I enjoy that they don't necessarily enjoy. And we're going to learn to do things that we enjoy together, but know what your children enjoy doing. And then let us see, design togetherness times with each family member in mind. So once you know what everyone enjoys doing, then plan it accordingly. Hey, you're going to take a family vacation. Survey the family. What would you enjoy doing? What would you enjoy doing? And then as you and your spouse plan that vacation, try to fit them all in. Boy, on this day we're going to do this, and we're going to go do this excursion or whatever. Do your best to know what they enjoy and then implement it in the time that you have together. Why? Because these kinds of experience, this quality time, is the fiber that weaves a family into a close-knit unit. And that's what we desire as well. How do we become a close-knit family? Number three, possess good communication patterns. Possess good communication patterns. Families that are close-knit spend time talking together. And we've learned and been challenged in this series about the importance of connecting and talking. When we're talking, looking eyeball to eyeball. When we're talking, not being distracted or trying to multitask. But truly connecting and making sure that we are communicating with our family, making sure that we're listening and that we understand. But sometimes as husbands, we get in trouble in our marriage because we heard, but we did not understand. Because we responded according to what we heard and then found out we didn't hear what she said. We thought we heard what she said, but we weren't even close, or vice versa. And any relationship within the home, we want to be sure that we are communicating clearly. And if we're going to be a close-knit home, we got to make sure, are we communicating? And maybe ask yourself right now, in our home, is there anyone I'm not connecting with? Is there anyone that I sense there's something between me and them? Is there anyone where I can just kind of feel an awkwardness? Because we need to talk about that. By the way, parenting is a lot of work. And it takes some intervening leadership. And it takes going to children sometimes and saying, hey, are we okay? Is your heart okay? I'm sensing something's not right, and I don't want to go any further this way. are we okay? I would much rather have that moment and that resolve than just continue to go and kind of agree to disagree and we'll figure it all out in eternity or something. We want to make sure we're connecting. Number four, they possessed a strong sense of commitment. A strong sense of commitment. The Bible challenges you and I in Romans, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. And we want to be deferring to family. We want to be in preference one to another. And there needs to be a strong sense of commitment. We'll continue to preach in this class with fervency that what your children need is a strong commitment between mom and dad. The word divorce is not allowed in your home. The word divorce is not allowed in your vocabulary. No child needs to rest his head at night on his pillow wondering, is dad going to be here tomorrow? Is mom going to be here tomorrow? Is our home going to be like I think it is now? What's going to happen in the future? Where will I live? How will this work? No child should ever be thinking those thoughts. And by the way, we've reached a lot of families in the last few months, and there may have been a time in your life where divorce was always an option, and now you've accepted Christ as your Savior, and you know His love to be real in your life, and you're learning about the home and God's intention of it, that what God has joined together, let no man put asunder, and God will give you the grace to work through whatever it is you're facing, but your kids need to know you're going to be there. There needs to be a strong sense of commitment. It will greatly help your children. And then there needs to be a strong sense of commitment to them. And we talked about the need that they have to know of your acceptance of their life. And again, that's not acceptance of what they're doing wrong. We'll deal with that and we'll train. But they just need to know unconditionally, no matter what they do, they have your love. That you love them. That they're yours. They're your child given to you by God, and nothing will ever change that. And God forbid anything would ever deter that relationship from being what it should. But we want to strengthen it by having that sense of commitment. Our families need a sense of commitment to us. Years ago, I was given an illustration about a family and home. And you know, sometimes in our lives, we go through a difficult season. And maybe there's some overtime, or maybe there's something that's kind of stretching life a bit. And sometimes we ask our family to hold a weight because maybe we're not going to have the time together that we should, or maybe something's going to be a little bit different for a season or something like that. And maybe the commitment we have one to another is a bit strained. Now, we can hold a weight for a while, but nobody in this room can hold this weight indefinitely. Eventually, you're just going to run out of strength. And you know what? In our family life, when we ask our spouse, our family members to hold a weight, going through a difficult season, going through some trials or something, don't forget they have the weight and they're holding. And be sure you make that thing right. Be sure there's an end. Be sure there's an understanding on your part. Hey, they're holding a weight. Things aren't like they should be right now. You're cognizant, you're aware of it, and you're going to make sure there's an end to it. We want to be very sensitive to where our family is at, and we want to make sure we're committed to that very thing. Then, number five, possessing a high degree of church involvement. How can you have a close-knit family, get as close to Jesus Christ as you possibly can, and get as involved in church as you possibly can? I literally grew up in church, and I'm thankful for that. I mean, we spent more time at church than we did at home. I grew up in a pastor's home, so mine might have been a little different than most. But we literally were at church 7 days a week. They had a Christian school, soul winning on Saturday, church on Sunday. We were there all the time. I mean, we were there for work nights. We were there for revival. We were there for conferences. I mean, sometimes we didn't even know why we had a home. You know what I mean? I mean, it was just, we were always at church. It was unbelievable. But looking back on it, it's awesome. I love it. And today, my kids are growing up in church. And I want to encourage our families, possess a high degree of church involvement. May your church involvement be predictable. May we follow the example of Christ. In Luke 4, it says, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. They knew about Jesus Christ. Hey, he's going to be in church. Boy, may it be known about you and I. They're going to be in church. Neighborhood function on Sunday morning. Don't even invite them. They're going to church. Or having baseball league. Don't even encourage them to go. They go to church. Hey, that's all right with me. I want to be known for being in church. I want to be known for being involved in church. Why? Does that make you a better Christian? I want to be involved in church because I need it. I need to be around the Word of God. I need to be under the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. I need to be around the people of God. I need church because in and of me, I don't have it to be a good husband or a good father. So if I'm going to be good at either one, I need to be in church and I need to be under the preaching and teaching the Word of God. And if that's what I can do to strengthen my commitment and to help my family be close-knit, then I want to do my part and I want to encourage them to do their part and God will bless our home. And then lastly, what can we do to develop a close-knit family? Number six, possess an ability to deal with crisis in a positive manner. Some families in our class right now are facing some trials. And we've been talking, we've been praying, we've been connected. I don't know what tomorrow will hold, but I do know if we're going to love God and serve God and live for God, we're going to face some persecution. And by the way, it may be persecution from without. It may just be God letting us go through a season of testing. For a faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. But I just want to encourage us this morning. When we go through that time, it needs to be in a positive manner. Why? Because you've got little eyes and little ears that are watching. Because something is not really real until it's resisted. Oh, I mean, going to church and bringing your Bible and singing songs and eating donuts and learning about family, that's all great until it seems like it's all falling apart. Then what are you going to turn to? Then what are you going to do? Then what are you going to stand on? And I'm telling you something, you have an incredible platform of influence within the own home. When there is resistance, when there's persecution, when there's a time of trusting or trial, and you just stick to the things of God with a positive spirit. Hey, I don't know what's happening. I don't know why, but I know God loves us. I know that God can change anything. I know that just as God can turn the rivers of water, He can turn the heart of a king. I know with Him, nothing's impossible. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So I'm just going to trust in the Lord. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm just going to let Him direct the way. I'm going to follow. And our kids need to see that. I'm telling you, when our homes face adversity, kids are watching. And sometimes when we go out of control and it's just chaos and it's just, I don't know. Now listen. There may be times in a private moment with the Lord, we feel that way. And that's okay. He's our Heavenly Father. He's going to take care of us. But I'm telling you, with our children, they need to see we're going to be all right. God's going to see us through. We have a faith in a Heavenly Father that can do anything. And God can change our circumstances even in the most difficult situations. There's some in our class right now. I know you're going through a tough time, and I just want to encourage you. I just want to encourage you. God is still in the circumstance-changing business. And God is still in the life-changing business. And God is still on the throne, and He is still able. And may you and I this morning be encouraged. God can. God can. God can. And may we pass that on. May we transfer that to our children. May God use these characteristics this morning to challenge us, to remind us, to encourage us to have a close-knit family. And maybe something shared this morning we could take home with us and say, Lord, help us to grow in that area right there. Help us to strengthen that in our home, that our family could be strengthened, that we could accomplish more for you, and that our home and our lives would bring you honor and bring you glory. Dear Heavenly Father, we sure love you. Thank you for some time together this morning around your word and with these dear folks. I love being a part of His design because I love being a part of a group of people and in an environment where we want to grow. We want to be more like you, and we want our homes to reflect your image in all we do. And God, today I pray that we would take these characteristics home with us and that we would cultivate with your help a close-knit family. Would you bless our class and families this week, the service tonight, the conference, and all we say and do. And we'll sure praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.